listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today and this week we've got David Leo in the studio, continuing our series this week on the sanctuary on Tassie Encounters Moments. Mm. David, we've been talking a little bit about the beginning processes, the early stages of the sacrifices and things that were done right from the time of Adam and Eve. And we just want to give a warning today. We will be talking more about the animal sacrifices and the death. So anyone listening, if that's going to be upsetting to you or your children, or if anyone's listening who might not understand or be able to understand this, then I'll just give you a warning up front so you can act accordingly. So, we talked about Adam and Eve, how God had to kill an animal to cover them with the skins of those animals.
Yes.
That sort of pointed to Christ's righteousness, the robes that he creates through his death.
Yep.
That covers us so that we can have a connection with God without feeling the shame that Adam and Eve felt after they sinned.
That's right. And we can also speculate from reading Genesis 4 and other places like Job and Abraham that there was a system in place now that God asked them how to worship, how to stay in communion with him.
Hmm.
And that was to have an altar, a sacrifice put on top of it, an animal sacrifice, and the family would come together and worship. And that was done for generations until many centuries later, after Abraham, when the Israelites moved into Egypt, they were then enslaved, and that worship system was basically erased. Mm. And I mean, that's a really good hint. When your way of worship is taken away, basically it's taken away your purpose and identity. And that's the whole the whole thing. So God had to recreate that.
Well, taking away God's plan of salvation as well.
Oh, wow.
For
yeah.
You.
Very. Mm. So, and yeah, that plan of salvation is, when we use the word salvation, it's a very Christian term for rescue plan. I want to call it rescue plan, God's rescue plan for every single one of us. Mm. And so, yeah, it takes away that whole concept understanding. We went to the sanctuary. God says, Moses built me a sanctuary. And then there's some really intricate details of what happens in the sanctuary. Now, just for your imagination, I want you to imagine that you're a drone or a bird looking at a bird's eye view at this building or a tent. And this tent, it's not a very big, I can't remember the exact measurements, but it's not a very big perimeter. There's a fence that's put on the outside of it, made of cloth, you know, and so no one can actually see what's happening behind that fence.
That was the outer perimeter.
Correct. Mm. Then there's a door, and people came to the door, and the priest would meet them there. And inside this outer perimeter, inside this fence, there's a tent. And that tent has two rooms, and it's split by a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
One room is called the holy place, and the other room is the holier place, or the most holy place. Yeah. And only the priest will enter that tent. And that priest will go into that tent every day, and it's not just family worship now. These are people in the camp that come all day, all night, bringing their sacrifices.
At any point in time.
At any point of time to the priest. So the priest now takes the place of the father. He takes the sacrifice. The person bringing the sacrifice still has to initiate the killing of the animal.
Mm.
But here's just some examples. I'm being very brief, but there's some very specific places in the Bible that talk about this. If we can go to Leviticus 4, verse 3 to 5, if you can read that, please.
And it says, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord and lay his hand on the head of the bull and kill the bull before the Lord. And the anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it into the tent of meeting.
Okay, so now we've got an instruction of a, what's called a sin offering. And this is, we're just looking at one part of many, many parts of the instruction that God gives about how to worship in the sanctuary.
And this is the priest himself doing this.
That's
for,
right.
For himself, for his own sin.
And this is interesting. I want you and our listener to probably make a comparison. We're going to jump down because it goes through some other processes. Mm-hmm. But compare the sacrifice of the priest to the
sacrifice of an ordinary person.
Ordinary person. Yeah, if you could read that, please.
In verse 32 to 35, it says, "If he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish and lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice and peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the Lord's food offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed, and he shall be forgiven."
Okay, so before we make the comparison, there's a reason why John points to Jesus in John 1 verse 29 and says, "Here is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world."
And this is what this lamb is representing here.
And it's talking about not the priest, it's talking about
the people.
The common people. The everyday person. Mm. Jesus is for
the everyday person.
Everyday person, because the everyday person basically encompasses everyone. Right? So when people ask, "Well, why the lamb?" Yeah. Well, now we can see it. We can see that this is why he's referred to as the lamb.
Now, when I'm reading this, David, and I know this is as we gave the warning earlier, but I'm imagining all of this blood and the animals being killed. I imagine this is a bit like an abattoir.
That's not the nicest place to be.
If you've ever been near an abattoir, you know, the smell and the smell of death almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty confronting thing, and it just makes me wonder. To come into this place and kill the animal and you can imagine the smell of, you know, the blood that's been there from other sacrifices.
Even the visuals.
Oh, and the visuals, the blood. There'll be blood everywhere. This is a messy process.
Now, yeah, I would hope, so I'm a bit off tangent here, I would hope that they use the skins for proper
something.
Purposes. Yeah, for clothing and things like this. Because the instructions aren't there, but you would hope that in their minds, let's use this one.
And I think the meat of the sacrifices could be eaten by the priest. Levites, the priests.
That's right, yeah.
Is that right?
It was food for the Levitical tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't totally wasted.
No, that's right, that's right. And there's symbology in that as well.
Right? The bread of life.
Yes, yes. So did you see the comparison of the sacrifice that the priest brought?
The priest brought a huge bull. I mean, surely a bull is a big animal.
Yep. And what sex was it?
It was a male.
And this one?
A female.
A female lamb.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Can you kind of make, what does that mean? Like,
yeah, well, I was going to ask why a female.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look, I didn't know myself. I went to this should be a trigger warning as well. I want to talk about, you know, a sexual organ of an animal, but I went to a auction. You know, these people in the church, they ran the auction and they invited the pastor at the time, and I was a friend of the pastor. They said, "Come along with me." Very fascinating. We stood out like a sore thumb because everyone was wearing like R.M. Williams hats and they're dressed all fancy. And at the auction, I'll tell you what, there was a bull that sold for $32,000, but they went after the bull. The auction not only took place in person, people joined online. There were some brokers on the phone. And I had no idea what was going on. We were given this booklet to read. And I went over to two gentlemen. They looked like they know what they're talking about. They were dressed fancy. And I said, "Hey, what are you talking about? How do you follow this thing?" And they said, "Oh, basically, we're just observing this bull. This is the bull that we want." And I said, how do you know? And he said, "Oh, well, if you look over here, see the circumference?" I said, "Yep, they had these measurements." I said, "Yeah, that bull's got the biggest testicles and out of all the bulls, and you know, that's the one, you know, and the breed, they start to breed.
They want that because of the ability to breed.
The amount of breeding it's gonna bring. The amount of cattle, healthy cattle." They said, "This is gonna bring good cattle." And it dawned on me, you know, if the priest sins, everybody suffers. because that's a whole heap of cattle that's not going to be, that's not going to see life because of the sacrifice that had to be offered, right?
Mm.
But the female lamb, well, there's other male lambs that's going to breed, you know? And so in a way, it's as if God's making access to him accessible. You know, it's when you look at other systems of worship back then, pagan worship, you had to appease the God.
Yes.
But he's like saying, I want you to be able to come to me any way possible.
Mm.
You know, I want you to join me here. You know,
even though it's not a pleasant process to go through to kill an animal,
yeah,
he made it, there was no additional requirement apart from to follow that instruction, bring the animal.
Correct. Cause it's our understanding that it has to be hard.
Yeah.
They looked at all the pagan religions, said it's got to be hard. And Jesus is like, I'm trying to make it easy. It's like a teacher giving you all the answers to an exam before you sit it. Mm. You
know? And Jesus got very upset with the people in the temple.
Trying to block it.
Trying to block and make it difficult for people to come and worship.
Yes, yes.
And so that was a trigger for Jesus to say,
I've made it easy and you're making it hard.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And of course, today it's even easier for us.
Wow.
To actually get to know Jesus.
Amen.
Read his story, read his testimony, read the gospels, and to actually understand and accept what he did. And I guess that's what we're trying to do today.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Is to describe what it is that Jesus did, which was represented in this sanctuary.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
So we'll get more into that in our next episode as well. What makes you feel safe and secure in a relationship? We can share your answer if you text us in 0488 880 891. We would love to hear from you today.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer for this week is called An Endless Falling in Love, and it's by Ty Gibson. What Eternal Life Means to You Now. And Ty Gibson's done it again, a rare blend of smart and heart. I love that phrase, smart and heart. An Endless Falling in Love is both an intellectual and an emotional journey into the character of God and the gift of eternity. Beyond the cliches and the harps, clouds, gold streets, and gates of pearl, Gibson shows eternal life to be an ever-deepening, free fall into friendship, love with God. Against this backdrop, the doctrines of the Trinity, creation, the fall, the incarnation, the cross, and other crucial Bible truths take on a beauty and lushness that will forever alter your views of salvation. That's what we're talking about this week, the plan of salvation. And it really is a rescue story. So as we go out today, did I actually give the code TEM03? Maybe I didn't give that. TEM03, text that into 0488 880 891 to claim that free book offer for this week. But yeah, it really is a rescue story, and Zach Williams sings about it in this song. So we pray that you encounter Jesus more each and every day. And we hope that this little series on the sanctuary helps you appreciate and understand Jesus' plan, his rescue story. This is Zach Williams with Rescue Story. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, there I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. Well, there you were. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You and my rescue story. You are, you and my rescue story. You are. You were out in the pages before I had a name, before I needed never give up on me. You're my testimony. Oh, 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 you never give up on me. You never give up on me. You're my testimony.